Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
So welcome back to another episode of this series of podcasts from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. It's great to have you joining with us again. I'm Karen Jardine, PCI's Public Affairs Officer, and I'm your host for this episode. This week, we're stepping into a slightly different subject area, taking a look at the theme of education. Education and PCI are linked in many different ways, whether it's schools of Presbyterian patronage in the Republic of Ireland, the role of transfer governors in Northern Ireland, and the many people in our pews who during the week care for our children and young people as teachers, principals, classroom assistants, cleaners, cooks, caretakers, administrative staff, volunteers, and many more. In Northern Ireland, an independent review of education has been established, and in the Republic, there's likely to be a citizens' assembly in the coming months on the future of education there. So it's a good time to talk education. As a caveat, in the short time we have, it's impossible to cover every aspect, but I'm delighted to be joined by three guests who'll bring different perspectives to this conversation. So a big welcome to Andy and Ruth and Colin. And first of all, I'll ask you to introduce yourself. So Andy.
Thank you, Karen, and thanks for inviting me. It's a real privilege to be on this podcast. My name's Andy Brown. I'm a member of Second Brasheen. And my day job is as a principal lecturer in teacher education at Stranmullis University College, where I'm head of the BEd primary degree course and head of arts and humanities. And I suppose the reason I'm here is outside my day job, I do various other things in education. Currently, I'm convener of the State Education Committee at PCI, which is a huge privilege to lead that work alongside you, Karen. Through that role, I also sit on the Executive Committee of the Transfer Representatives Council. I'll probably get into that a little bit later on. And I'm also, I'm the vice chair of that body, and I'm the vice chair of the reasonably newly formed Controlled School Support Council. So for me, faith and education have always been intertwined, and they've formed two of the biggest parts of who I am.
Great. Thanks, Andy. What about you, Colin?
Thanks, Karen. I'm Colin Berry. I belong to the Mall Presbyterian Church in Armagh. I'm the clerk of session in that church. I'm also a Boys Brigade officer, a leader in charge of junior section, and I'm also responsible for our annual Holiday Bible Club as leader in charge of that. It's great to be involved in this podcast as we talk all things education. And my day job, I'm principal of Market Hill High School. I've been principal there since September 2019. And previously to that, I was principal in Auchnacloy College from 2013.
Great. Thanks, Colin. And Ruth, what about you?
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me on. I feel very humbled to be part of this conversation with these esteemed people who I'm on with. My name is Ruth Dalzell. I'm a member of Second Cumber Presbyterian Church. My husband, Robert, is the youth and family worker there. And I've been involved in PCI stuff for a very long time. My dad's a minister, so, you know, PCI to the core. I was involved in the youth intern scheme as well with PCI, so I got to see a little bit of what happens behind the back, like in the background with PCI. I work for Scripture Union Northern Ireland. I'm the E3 schools worker for North Belfast and Newton Abbey, and I started that role in August 2020. And before that, I was a biology post-primary teacher for nearly 10 years.
Great. Thank you, Ruth. Maybe to start with, Andy, a bit of a general question, but why is PCI involved in education at all?
We used to own all the schools that there are about, all the controlled schools. I mean, well, the churches used to own all of the schools. So the four main churches, Presbyterian Church of Ireland, Methodist and Catholic Church, in our quest for social justice and our service to the community, years and years and years ago, we set up schools. So at the formation of the state of Northern Ireland a century ago, we then started to hand over to control or to transfer over into the control of the state, the churches that we owned, and the three Protestant denominations started and did that. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, they didn't do that, but the state started to, they maintained their schools on behalf of the state. But we transferred ours into the control of the state. That's why the controlled sector is called the controlled sector. And that's why the representatives from the churches who sit on boards of governors are called transferor representatives, because we transferred into the control of the state our schools. And so all primary schools in the controlled sector, have four transfer reps, and then there are certain post-primary schools within the controlled sector, including non-selective and selective, who have transferer reps on their boards as well. And essentially our role there is to promote and maintain and defend the Christian ethos upon which controlled schools were built and continue to function. So really that's it. And we're involved at macro level as well. We get seats on various bodies right up to the Education Authority. We sit, the TRC representatives sitting on the Controlled School Support Council. So we've had a huge degree of influence and involvement with our schools for the last century. But it's more than just that. But I mean, I'm sure we'll get into that. It's a mission for us. It's a service for us. And it's selfless. We ask for nothing in return. None of us get paid. It's all voluntary. And many, many folks who are transfer reps end up in officer positions and boards of governors as chairs. And so there's a huge time commitment. But it's something we do with love because it's part of our service.
That's great. Andy, Colin, do you want to tell us a little bit about your school and its context and maybe some of the challenges and opportunities? I mean, the whole COVID challenges are very particular to this moment in time, but I'm sure there's some ongoing issues and opportunities as well.
Market Hill High School is a controlled school, a non-selective controlled school. We take children from year 8 up until year 12. So they finish with us when they complete their GCSEs at the end of year 12 and then move on somewhere else for their post-16 studies in education. There are currently just over 500 pupils in the school, and those 500 pupils come from a range of primary schools in and around the Market Hill area. The town is just on the outskirts of the village of Market Hill. I currently have 32 teaching staff and up to 30 non-teaching staff, which is our cleaners, our caretaking, our technicians, our classroom assistants and our canteen staff. So it is a rural school just outside of Market Hill. Numbers have been over the 500 for the past number of years, and most years the school is oversubscribed for people looking into this school as a transfer from primary school. There are many, many challenges with trying to manage a post-primary school. And I feel probably in the last 2 years I have been managing a COVID situation in school rather than managing the school itself. The challenge now is getting the school back to some sort of normality, pupils back into a proper routine. This past 2 years, we've been in year group bubbles. We've had one-way systems. We've had temperature checks. We've been wearing face masks. We've had very little activities happening after school. Dealing all of that is a challenge. But what I think one of the bigger challenges coming out of COVID is dealing with all the pastoral issues that are now coming into the forefront of school. We seem to, this year in particular, from September this school year, we have been dealing with more and more pastoral issues that have probably come out of lockdown and school closures and home learning and remote learning and all of that. And I feel this year in particular, our teachers are now more than just teachers. You know, they are dealing with things that maybe social workers could be dealing with. They're maybe even dealing with things that police could be dealing with. So there's a lot of time taken up by teachers on the pastoral side, which they are very, very happy to do and very keen to do. But it just seems to seem that there are a number of issues that we are dealing with. And in particular, the mental health of pupils. I mean, we have found a number of pupils maybe self-referring themselves to a counsellor or needing help with counselling or just needing someone to talk to. And linked into that as well is the whole well-being of staff and pupils as we all move forward. A lot of my staff had many difficult family situations to deal with during lockdown, and now we're back into the normal day-to-day running of school. And we have to think of the staff well-being as well. So that whole challenge of coming out of COVID, getting school back to normality, is a challenge, but it's something that we are moving forward with. And I suppose linked in with that as well is always the challenge of finance and budget. And unfortunately, the running costs of a school are going up and up. When you think of the price of oil and the price of electric, the infrastructure of the school, all of that needs money spent. So it's a challenge just trying to keep the budget right and keeping the school right and the school operating. The school is 62 years of age, so we're always spending a little bit of money on the infrastructure of the school, trying to improve facilities for our pupils. But yet, in the middle of all of that, there are opportunities. you know, we, as I say, are coming out of COVID, we're able to develop the skills and talents of our children. And I think in particular of our current year nines, our second year pupils, they have had no experience of post-primary only with COVID. So when they were in year eight, they were in class bubbles and were not moving. They were not doing any practical subjects. They were not getting into a practical workshop. That has improved now in their year nine. But it's just to be able to take those pupils and all of our pupils forward with a whole post-primary experience. And that's things like our after-school activities starting back up again. It's the fact that our teams are getting to play against other teams and the children are able to get on a bus and go to another school and play a hockey match or a football match. And that is something which they are enjoying. And as I say, for the like of our year nines, it's the first experience that they're having of that in a post-primary school. I have a very resourceful staff and they're very keen, along with the pupils, that the pupils will do well. So I feel there's opportunities now with our current year 12s who are going to be sitting GCSE examinations at the end of this year, just to see them excel in their examinations as they go forward. They have come through the 2 years of COVID, but they have the opportunity now within the school to excel and to do well in their GCSEs and to move on. And we always like to see at Markethill just to see where our pupils end up after GCSE and if they go into A-levels and the jobs they end up going to, and some of them even coming back and as teachers or staff within the school. So yes, there are challenges, but out of every challenge, there are plenty of opportunities, and we look forward to that. And we look forward to, I suppose, a situation where school is back to normal as we have known it in the past.
That's great, Colin. And I think like one of the things that's been a really great reminder there is we hear about the mental health and well-being of the pupils, and that's really, really important. But actually, to remember that staff have been impacted by everything and they've been dealing with things in their own families and personal circumstances as well. It's an important for us to remember that. So thank you for that. So maybe, Ruth, moving on to you. You work for Scripture Union, so external to school and church, if you like, but in partnership with both. Do you want to tell us a little bit about E3, about your work in North Belfast and Newton Abbey?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is part of Scripture Union in Northern Ireland. So apologies to any listeners in the Republic of Ireland. SU Ireland do things a little bit differently. So my context is Northern Ireland. So E3 is to do with having a particular worker in an area that will then look after the schools in that area and partner with local churches. And that type of project has been happening in Northern Ireland for over 20 years. East Belfast was the first area that had a dedicated worker to that area. And now we have 10, which is really exciting. So we have workers in Northwest, the North Coast, East Antrim, Antrim and Lisburn, North Belfast and Newton Abbey, North Down and Newton Ards, East Belfast, Fermanagh and Five Mile Town, Oma and Castledurg, and I think I've forgotten somebody else, which is really
Ballymena.
How did I forget Ballymena? I'm so sorry. Sorry, Eve, who's the worker who's in Ballymena. So yeah, it's really exciting. In a perfect scenario, we would have a worker in all areas across Northern Ireland so that every pupil would have a dedicated skills worker in their area, but we're just not there yet. But the name E3 comes from three words that begin with E that describe what we do. So the first E is engage. So that's all about engaging with pupils and letting them have an encounter with Jesus through his word, and letting them make an informed decision about Jesus and his word. And the way that we engage in schools is assemblies, RE lessons, and then helping with SU groups. So those are the ways that we engage with the pupils. The second E is all about equipping. And that's helping to equip Christian teachers and Christian pupils, helping them to grow in their faith, to encourage them, to support them, but also to help them to be salt and light in their schools. It's really hard to be a Christian in school sometimes. And so we want to support those Christian staff members, the Christian pupils, who are able to have an influence with those around them in a way that we can't as SU workers or as churches. They get to sit beside the same people in classes every day. They, as teachers, maybe meet hundreds of pupils throughout a week, or if you're primary, then you have a dedicated class for a year. So you can have a massive influence on those who are around you. So if we can equip you to do that, then that's where we want to be. And then the third E is all about empowering. And it's empowering churches to get involved in schools ministry, to pray for their local schools, to support them in any way that they can. And so in the E3 project, you have a worker who is dedicated to that particular area and can be the link person between schools and churches. There are some churches that have amazing links with their local schools and support them in amazing ways. And there are other churches that don't really seem to have any links, or they don't know how to go about it. So sometimes the E3 worker will be the middleman, if you like, and bring those relationships together. So if we look at then East for me in North Belfast and Newton Abbey, in my area, there are 74 schools. So that's a mixture of primary, post-primary and special schools. And so the aim is to be able to go into those schools to do assemblies, RE lessons, help with any SU groups that are there, or potentially set up new ones. It's challenging. There's no way that I would be able to be in 74 schools. So that's where the partnership with the local churches is so important. They have the local knowledge. They have the context. They know the culture of that particular area. They maybe have those pupils that go to their church, go to Sunday school, go to GB, BB, go to their youth club. They're seeing these pupils more often than I would be. Even if I wanted to visit one school a week, that would take me over 2 years to do. And so I'm not able to support them in the same way that their local congregation could. And so it's been challenging to start off with. I started in August 2020 in the middle of COVID. Some of the SU staff were still on part-time furlough. And so I was going into a new area. North Belfast and Newton Abbey didn't have a schools worker before. So I was heading into a new area. Robert, my husband, is from North Belfast. He's originally from Woodvale. He was an elder there and his family still live there. So I had some connections in North Belfast, and being a good old Presbyterian, you always make connections really quickly. But it's getting to know the area and finding out who the key people are. And because there wasn't that history necessarily of SU going in, you had to start kind of finding out who is willing to have SU in. But also in the context of COVID, schools were closed for a long time. So a lot of the communication that I have is pretty much over email. So I am really looking forward to the day when I can meet people face to face. In order to help with not being able to go into schools due to COVID, we had to adapt how we did our engagement. So SU Northern Ireland produced online assemblies, and we still do that. So we will release an online weekly assembly. And we know that schools have really appreciated that, especially with not being able to bring in maybe ministers or other people who would have done assemblies. And we also produced online lessons for Christmas and for Easter last year. But thankfully now with things opening up, we've been able to get in person. I've been really excited to be able to go into schools to do assemblies, to do RE lessons and to help out with SU groups. And yes, it's been hard and sometimes it's a bit discouraging. Also, just as Colin was saying, teachers are exhausted. They are absolutely burnt out. They've been trying to cope with ever-changing restrictions and things that they are allowed to do, or with mental capacity, things that they've never had to think about before, and teachers are just shattered. And SU groups that maybe had been happening for a very long time, with COVID taking things away from them, maybe they met online or they couldn't meet at all. There are some teachers that are just like, I don't know if I have the energy to run an SU group every week anymore. And so it's trying to support those teachers and say, it's okay that you're exhausted. How can we help you? But the challenge in that then is trying to find support then from local churches and from local congregations to step in and to help lift that load, to help with that burden. What has been amazing are the amazing opportunities that we have had. And we in SU are so thankful for those faithful Christian teachers who want to share God's good news with children and young people. And we're so thankful for the opportunity that we do have, that we're still allowed to go into schools, but also there are amazing godly people all across Northern Ireland within our congregations who want to do what they can to support children and young people and to support Christian teachers and to share good news. So yes, it's been hard, but it's been amazing at the same time. And I'm really excited to see what God's going to do in North Belfast and Newton Abbey.
Thanks, Ruth. And that's been a really comprehensive just consideration of just some of the challenges and the opportunities, and also just such affirmation of our, you know, Christian teachers in our schools as well. Andy, back at the end of January on a very windy Saturday morning, we had a morning called Let's Talk Education in PCI and Assembly Buildings. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, what the background to that, and maybe kind of what's come out of that in terms of what some priorities might be for PCI in education kind of going forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the background is that it was something that we needed to do and something that we really wanted to do for quite some time. It was always an aspiration of ours. And with this independent review of education, now seemed to be a brilliant time for us to be able to come together and just think about what it is that we do and how we do it and whether we're doing it right and how we can do it better. I think essentially is what it was about, Karen. And so on the 29th of January, 120 to 130 people met in the assembly buildings. Well, we had guests there, people who came because they were interested, people from outside organisations, people from the trade unions, people from the initial teacher education institutions, politicians. And so the minister opened the conference, which was lovely, after the moderator, of course, opened in prayer. And then we had a keynote address from Dr. Irvin Scott, from the Leadership Institute for Faith and Education at Harvard, or LIFE as it's known. And then we had panel discussion. And so we had Robert Heron, who's one of our reps on the Education Authority. We had Leanne Dunlop from Scripture Union talking about her master's work on chaplaincy. Dr. Barbara McDade from Stramalis University College, who would be involved with the LIFE Institute at Harvard and wants to see something like that begin over here. And then Mark Beattie, who's the principal of the Diamond Primary School and a Presbyterian elder. And we had a panel. We just discussed things about education. And then we moved into discussion groups, and it was only Presbyterians allowed. And we discussed several key questions around what was important for us. It was great. And I think really what's come out of it has been a deeper understanding of our work, you know, a sense of realization for a lot of people. The light bulb came on about why they do what they do and why they're involved. I felt there was a real sense of excitement, a real reminder of our investment over generations in individual schools and in the system. And I think a broader sense of our purpose as well. One of the questions we asked was about the values that we have, the cornerstone values of honesty and truthfulness and kindness and consideration and concern for others and compassion, obedience and responsibility and respect and duty. But we asked ourselves, well, that's lovely to say that that's what a Christian ethos is and that's what we as Christians bring and that's what the churches promote and maintain and defend in schools. But can we honestly say it's just us that have that? Is that not a little arrogant to think that we're the only ones that have those values? And so really we were teasing out, well then what does make our value base different, how we approach those values? And I think really some of the lovely things that came out were that, well, A, we're consistent in how we do it. We live them out in a way that is noticeable. And we do so very much in a non-confrontational way and in a way that exudes love. I think there was a renewed vision at the conference about it's what we can give rather than what we can get. And there have been, you know, some lovely outcomes in that. And that came through, I think, very much within the panel discussion and the things that Irvin Scott was saying to us. You know, if we were to think about our priorities, I think really coming out of it was about that need for us to build relationships, to ascertain needs and to support practically. And I think the big thing was it's about engaging, expecting nothing. I'm sorry, that's not three E's, Ruth. That's just the two.
Oh, you're fine. But, don't worry. I'm sure you can think of some more, Annie.
we'll try and alliterate a little bit later. But it's really about understanding that primacy of developing relationships, you know, at school level and at governmental level, and to build and sustain these partnerships. And to take time to really establish what the needs are of the school, of the children, of the communities, and to speak into all educational issues. So there was a real focus as well, which I'm really pleased to see, on social justice, because that's where it all began. It was that desire for social justice, that quest, that understanding that children needed to be educated. So, and then another key for us is about articulating this in a way that society understands. And I think we've a seminar coming up in a couple of weeks. We commissioned it in the Transfer Representatives Council, a piece of research entitled Beyond the Stereotype, where we looked at underachievement in controlled schools and the role of the Protestant churches in that. And there's some really interesting stuff coming out of that, not least one of the things then, you know, there was a range of perspectives and they were both supportive and critical of the role of Protestant churches in education. But the study affirmed that where school leaders are open to church involvement, and that can't always be assumed, and where a local church engages meaningfully, tangibly and unconditionally, and I think that's so key in its local school, that there's an enormous potential to improve educational outcomes. And for me, the big theme was that unconditional support for schools. And some lovely, lovely examples coming out of it. You know, I heard of an elder who went to the church committee and their Kirk session and said, right, okay, I want $2,000. In May, I want to go with my wife and buy a whole pile of stationery, enough for the 320 something kids in our local primary school. Then I want, and pencil cases, and I want to invite them all in class groups to fill their boots. And we don't want to end back. Okay. And an example where in one particular presbytery, there's already been a meeting held between the presbytery education convener, some local principals, Scripps Union M9, Coaching for Christ, to see how they can form greater partnerships. I have an example of a governor who phoned me and said, right, I'm going to my next governor's meeting. I'm doing it the other way around. I'm saying to governors, there are churches out there who want to help us. So let's start and build a relationship and let's ask them to help us. And another lovely one where I heard about a local principal who was approached on the back of the conference by a church who wanted to give him a monetary gift and said, you know, what can we buy you? What do you really need? Fascinatingly, he turned around and said, thanks, but, you know, things aren't really important to me and relationships are. I have a greenhouse out the back and you live in a nice place where people know how to garden. Surely there's some of your older folks who'd love to come in, do a wee 6-week course. Surely some of your ladies would like to come in and show some of our girls how to knit. Surely you could help us with hanging baths. Surely you could. And I just thought, wow, that's amazing. But that's about ascertaining need, mm-hmm. and it's about building relationships. So lots of exciting stuff coming out. And I suppose our big job is, how do we capture that zeitgeist? How do we run with that and make sure that it builds?
No, that's really helpful. And even in terms of, in the short space of time, 4 weeks after that morning, seeing some really tangible results. And we do plan to make available the opening session on PCR website in the next few weeks. And hopefully a future edition of the Herald will also be able to capture some of these stories. Colin, you were there.
I actually found it very useful. I think the best part for me was actually when we went into our discussion groups, because I was sitting there with people who were on governors of primary schools or post-primary schools right across Northern Ireland. And you were getting ideas from them of what their local church was doing or how they could improve what they were doing. And one thing I was talking about in our group is, I find quite often in churches, if you are a teacher, you're involved in a lot of other things within the church, in the youth organizations or the Sunday school or whatever. And it just came to me when we're having that conversation that I think sometimes one way forward the churches could go is that, right, it's a busy time in school, let's say, or our school's going through an inspection. Could someone then come alongside me and say, right, I will go and take your Sunday school class for the next 3 Sundays so that you don't have to worry about or consider that because school life is busy. Or if someone came along and said, right, I'll take your BB for you for a couple of weeks just to give you a break. And I think that's some way, because a lot of people in churches maybe think, well, we can't go into the schools and do anything, but they can actually help teachers in a very practical way. And it's not that they're going to take your Sunday school class forever, but they just feel like, I can use a little bit of help now to give me a wee break. And I think that was one way of maybe moving forward in some churches.
I read that in the feedback, Colin. I was really, I didn't know it came from your group and I didn't know it came from you. Well done.
But yeah, it came from me.
I was doing, you know, as Karen was as well, we were doing some analysis of the data that we'd got in. And that one just really leapt out at me. Thought, what a tangible reverse way of doing it. Because so often teachers are, I mean, Ruth's already talked about how teachers are feeling at the moment, but teachers can be hammered in their churches. You know, for youth work, we hear the things that you're doing, BB captain and running the Holy Bible Club and all that sort of stuff, as well as trying to run a school. I don't know how you do it, especially at the moment, spending 3 hours a night trying to get sub teachers in for the next morning. But it's just been lethal. But I thought that was a lovely, lovely idea, you know.
Colin, then, what does local church partnership look like in practice for you and your school?
The connection between churches and schools is vital, and it is something that has to be maintained, something that we have to keep. And I would be worried if a review of education tries to get rid of the church connection and the church partnership with schools. I can't see it happening immediately, but I would hope that years down the line that doesn't happen. You know, we have transfer reps from the primary schools who sit on our board of governors. I have 9 on my board of governors. So those people are either the ministers of local churches or they are church members who have volunteered to go on to the board of governors. And as Andy said, they're volunteers. And I think when I look at the hours the board of governors can sit at nights discussing things, making very, very difficult decisions. It could be maybe they're deciding on redundancies or how best to spend money or whatever. It could be at a disciplinary hearing or whatever. They're doing that voluntarily, and I don't think they get enough credit for what they're doing. And I really appreciate the fact that those people are from the local churches in the local community, and they're there to help and to benefit the school, and they are a great help and a great assistance to the school. Secondly, what our local churches do, every local church in the Market Hill area, the ministers are involved in taking an assembly. Now, that doesn't happen in every post-primary school. I know for other colleagues it doesn't happen. And even when we weren't in school physically and we were in remote learning, the local ministers were still recording an assembly and uploading it, and then it was shared with pupils on their Google Classroom or on their email. But that could be the minister of the local church, it might be the youth worker of the local church, but it's a range of people who come in and take assemblies. And from September, we haven't been able to have large assemblies. So we've been going for year group assemblies. So we have 5 days in the week with 5 year groups. So there's an assembly each morning for a year group. But I've even noticed that some of the ministers have taken that opportunity to speak for maybe 2 or 3 weeks to a year 10 group or a year 9 group with a particular theme. So rather than coming into an assembly and then maybe not coming in for a number of weeks, they've been coming in and following on that theme. And that has been good. Our local churches also support an organization called REACH. Now, REACH are based in the Lurgan, Craigavon, Armagh and Dungannon area. And we have just brought them into school this year. They just started with us in November time. And they're involved in mentoring pupils. So how the local churches can get involved, they can actually financially support REACH, or they actually provide volunteers who come in to work alongside the REACH workers. And we have found that very, very beneficial. REACH come in to do a mental health seminar with year 10 pupils, and the REACH worker was there, but she had 4 volunteers from the local churches that were able to help. Other local churches are now thinking, well, that's something we can do. We can easily give £500 or £1,000 to REACH to develop that and to keep that going. We have a school scripture union as well, and the local church people will come in and speak at scripture union from time to time. Ministers in the past have come in and taken parts of RE lessons or been involved with the RE department and even with resources and helping them look at resources. One thing I find very, very beneficial to me as the principal of the school is that I know there are local people in the local churches who maybe aren't physically coming into the school, but they're praying for the school. And they'll tell me that they're praying for the school if I meet them in the town or I meet them at some presbytery event or some event, you know, that they're well aware of what's going on in the school. And just the fact that they're saying, look, we're supporting you in whatever way we can. The Church of Ireland in Armagh, St. Mark's Church of Ireland, they run an event at the start of the school year every year. It's a service run by the church for school staff. And it's really just like we're at the start of a new school year. They have a couple of people interviewed. They pray for what's going on in the local schools. And I think that's a good example. I think it's the Armagh Diocese that do it, but it's running in Armagh. And it's useful as well because it's here's the church thinking, right, another school year starting. Here's how we can help. I love to see the church ministers coming in, church members coming in. And I think it's important. And I think it's good for our pupils even to see their own minister coming in, particularly maybe those people who don't attend church too often, and they see their minister coming in and the minister then can relate to them. It's vital that that continues, and it's something that we benefit from and appreciate very much. And I suppose being in a rural area, we have so many churches around us in the countryside, but they're all involved, you know, and as I say, if it's not the minister, it's a youth worker, or it's somebody coming in.
Oh, that's great, Colin. And I suppose, Ruth, I wonder if there's somebody listening in their local church doesn't have a connection with their school and they've heard some of this, they've heard some of the other conversations around and they want to get started. What encouragement would you give to someone in a local church who wants to begin to develop those relationships?
I think my first part of encouragement would be do it 100%. Get involved in your local schools. I think if you're not entirely sure where to start, maybe you could chat to some people in your congregation. You could chat to some pupils who go to the local schools and be like, well, what are you doing in school at the minute? Or who else comes in and does different things? Or if you have staff members in your congregation, talk to them and be like, what's going on in your school at the minute? Like, how are you finding it? How could you be supported? Or just phone the school and ask. And just kind of like, as Andy was saying, say, we want to help you. We want to support you. We care about you. And the local church wants to see this school flourish. And so we want to do whatever we can to support you. And so communicate. Don't guess what the school wants, I suppose would be kind of a good bit of encouragement, because you might think you know what could be helpful. But whenever you have those conversations, something in particular might come out and say, we could give money to the school. But the school's like, we don't need your money. We need your time, or we need your gifts, or we need your talents, or we need you to build relationships with our pupils. And that takes time and it takes communication, but it is completely worth it in the long run. Sometimes schools are let down by people, in that people come into schools kind of selfishly hoping to get other things. I agree with Andy, and sometimes churches have definitely been guilty of that. They maybe go into the assemblies, or they go in to do certain things hoping that you will get people come to your GB or your BB, or they'll all come to our youth club, or they'll all come to our youth fellowship. But I think my encouragement would also be just love the school, love the staff, love the pupils, because God loves them. You're not in some way doing this so you get something back. That's not how kingdom work actually goes about. You know, we are called to love all of these people where we've been placed, you know, love the people around us. And doing that just means serving them and not looking for something in return. Learn about the school. Maybe ask for a calendar of events and find out what's going on in the school year. Know when the nativity is, know when the carol service is, know if they have an Easter service or a Leaver service. Offer your premises and say, I don't know if you go somewhere else, but we are always welcome in our church. You know, if you want to hold any events in our church, we could do that. Practically, the idea that there's probably like odd jobs around the school that need done, things that need fixed. And within a school day, nobody has time to fix those things. So if someone from a church was like, oh, we've got like handymen in our congregation, he'll come and fix that for you, or change the batteries in your clock, or whenever the time change happens, we can do all those things. Now, granted, within the school, you might have a caretaker who can do those things, but offer at least and do practical things, or share your gifts and talents. Like Andy was saying, you know, come in and take an after school class, do a cookery club. It could be that the school are having a school play, or they're having some kind of like concert at the end. You could offer, well, we could do the refreshments for you to save teachers having to do that. We could do that for you. Knowing what all's going on in the schools, we've mentioned inspections as well. I've heard of a local church, when they found out that there was an inspection happening in their local schools, they provided buns for the whole week to go into the staff room, because they're like, you're under enough pressure. And let me tell you, as a former teacher in the staff room, if there are buns in a staff room, like, they'll go so quickly, but they're so appreciated.
I can also say that Colin's nodding his head at that as well. I can't see that, but yeah.
Colin knows. He knows. It's the fact that someone has thought about that. And I know of another church that made top hats for every single pupil in the school, just to bless them and be like, happy Friday, have a top hat. So it doesn't have to be anything particularly big, but there are examples of the bigger things. So we've talked about being able to provide stationery for pupils. I know of other churches that have made up back to school packs, where they have a school bag, they have a pencil case filled with stationery, they have a lunchbox, and they have a water bottle. And they got in contact with schools and said, we've made up these packs, give them to the pupils that need them the most. And the churches don't even need to know the pupils' names. They trust the schools will give them to whoever needs them most. In regards to regular help and support for schools, I'm currently in Glengormley High for a couple of weeks, and they have a mentoring scheme to meeting with pupils. So there's a guy, Steve, from Glengormley Baptist, and Matthew from Carmoney Presbyterian. They go in every Friday. They do some group sessions. They do one-to-one sessions. And then they also take the SU group when they're in. And that is invaluable to the school. There are more pupils that could be part of the scheme, but they don't have enough volunteers. So it can be things like that. And then also it can be going in to do RE lessons, to do assemblies, to help with the SU groups and all of those different ways as well. So I think there are loads of ways to get involved. It depends on your time and your talents. It's just finding out how you can best serve them, I suppose.
I think that just that communication and building up those relationships are key to just kind of thinking about what the most appropriate and effective thing might be. I feel like we're only scratching the surface and lots of things, but we're going to have to wrap up. What we normally do at the end of a podcast is invite our guests to share a scripture verse or a passage that's been meaningful to them recently, or it relates to maybe what we've been talking about. So maybe Ruth, if I start with you, do you want to share briefly just your thoughts?
Yep. So the verse for me is the verse that's on my prayer newsletter that I send out every month, and it's Romans 12 verse 12. It says, be joyful because you have hope, be patient when trouble comes and pray at all times. And I think within that verse, it kind of captures everything that my job is about, that we have hope to share with children and young people. We've got God's good news, but it's not going to be easy, and God never promised that it would be. And all we can do in that situation is pray and pray that God moves, that God is in the center of everything that we do, and that we try and align our purpose with his.
Great. Thank you, Colin. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to take two verses from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. These verses I use quite often in a school assembly. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I think that bit's important there in school life. Yes, we are looking out for ourselves, but we're looking out for others as well. And we can only do that through Christ's strength with us.
Thanks, Colin and Andy.
The verse I've chosen is Psalm 116, verse 7. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I came across this verse, I think it was my mum directed me towards it. The thing I love about this verse is there are key elements, not just the be at rest, but it's the be at rest once more. Don't fret, you'll get through this. Okay, this is but for a season. And those times when we go through sleeplessness, or when we go through stress, anxiety, or even darkness, you know that there's another side out of there. And then that key at the end, which is for the Lord has been good to you. And so many blessings to count. And when you're at a low ebb and you're so tired, you just remember you'll get through this, and you've got through this so many times, and God has just met you where you are. And he has just blessed you so incredibly. So that would be where I would finish. Thank you, Karen.
No, that's great. So thank you to those at home for taking the time to listen to our conversation, and really appreciate the willingness and insights of Ruth and Colin and Andy. We would encourage you to share this episode via social media or with others from your congregation who you think might find it helpful. So please also make sure that you subscribe to the podcast to receive future episodes. But that's all for now, and we hope you'll join us next time for another conversation reflecting on our life and witness at this time in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.